My name's Anne Connolly. I'm a GP from Bradford and I'm the clinical champion for the Menstrual Wellbeing Clinical Spotlight programme. And so this programme has been developed to deliver a number of educational resources, one being a clinical toolkit to use, others being e-learning and podcasts like this one, so that busy clinicians can have educational nuggets to use, and the toolkit being a one-click resource, where as many resources as possible can be put into one place for us to use in our daily work. This project is being supported by Endometriosis UK and the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, and also by the RCGP Patient and Carers Participation Group. Now, this podcast is focusing on endometriosis. Endometriosis is very common. The estimations are that this may affect up to 10% of women of reproductive age. It is hormonally mediated and causes women considerable physical, social and psychological concerns. The problem for us as busy clinicians is that the symptoms women present with are very varied, and some women will suffer much more significant symptoms than others. To prevent the long-term problems associated with endometriosis, we do need to be better at recognising the symptoms earlier and referring appropriately or managing some women following the latest guidance. Today, we're very fortunate that we have Jodie, who is a patient who has suffered with endometriosis for many years, and she's agreed to come in to talk to me and share with us the story of her problems, how she has been managed, and how the issue has continued to affect her through her life. So, Jodie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
When did you first notice that you had problems with your periods, or what was going on?
To be honest, I always had painful periods from when my periods first started at 14, but I didn't know that that was a problem. My periods had always been painful. I didn't know that there was anything unusual about that.
So what happened? When did you first go and talk to someone about it?
I was missing quite a lot of school and missing quite a lot of college. I went to a GP when I was about 17, and I was doing my A-levels at the time, and I thought, I can't carry on with having a severe pain with my cycle. I was vomiting. I wasn't able to carry on my normal daily functions, so I went to see the GP.
So how did you feel at that first appointment with your GP?
I was really nervous. I was 17 years old, not wanting to go and talk to the GP about periods at all. The appointment was very short, and I was prescribed the contraceptive pill, and I was very happy to be out of that appointment very quickly and away.
And so you took the contraceptive pill, and did that help?
The contraceptive pill did really help with the pain, and to be honest, I was on the pill for a long time and forgot why I initially went to the GP. I carried on taking the pill. My pain was reduced. I thought that was great.
And then what happened?
After 10 years, I thought, I'm not taking this contraceptive for contraceptive purposes. I'd been having my pill reviews. I don't need to be taking hormones, so I stopped taking the pill. The pain came back quite severely. I wasn't well at all, and I went to see the GP again.
Okay, so at this time, did you still have any idea of what the problem that you were experiencing was? Did you have a name for the condition?
At that time, I still didn't know that was an issue. At that time, I still thought that maybe I had a very low pain threshold. I thought that probably most women suffered in this way every month. It actually took my boyfriend at the time, now husband, to say to me, this can't be right. You really need to go and see a doctor, for me to think, maybe this isn't right. Maybe other women don't lay on the floor every month in pain, vomiting, not able to go to work. It seems very strange saying that now, but genuinely at 27, I thought that that's what most people did, and maybe I just had a low pain threshold.
So you went back to a GP?
A GP, it was a different GP, yes.
Okay, and what happened there?
The GP was very good. He spoke to me about painful periods. He spoke to me about painful sex. And at that time, it was the first time I ever heard the word endometriosis mentioned. Never heard the word before.
So you probably had a diagnosis now.
It wasn't a diagnosis as such. He just mentioned that this possibly could be endometriosis and suggested that as the pill had been very helpful, that it might be helpful to go back on the contraceptive pill, which I did, and he made a referral to a gynaecologist.
And how did you feel once he'd mentioned that word?
I felt fabulous. Well, I felt completely vindicated in that I'd been having all of this pain, thinking that it was me with a low pain threshold, and there was a reason. Finally, I was told that there could be a reason, and that painful periods, painful sex, etc., it could be a sign that something was going on in there. Up to that point, I didn't even know that much.
You went to see a gynaecologist, and what happened there?
Went to see a gynaecologist and I had a laparoscopy. They diagnosed that it was endometriosis and they removed some of the endometriosis.
Did you find that helpful?
The pain was reduced slightly. I continued taking the contraceptive pill. I took it back to back for 9 weeks and then had a break. So it was managed. The pain was then managed that way.
And then there's often other issues that women experience with endometriosis, and one of those is around fertility. And I know you've talked about that previously to me. So what's your story with that?
My husband and I did try to conceive for a number of years, about 5 years. We had one natural conception that unfortunately ended in miscarriage. We then I went to the GP and were referred for fertility treatment. We were very lucky that our third round of fertility treatment was successful and we now have a little girl. Through seeing GPs, nurses at the practice, everybody was very supportive and very helpful through that whole process. What I would say is that sometimes people didn't give quite the right information. We waited a long time to get that referral. The information that was given was not always current, as I say.
And that's an important point, I think, for people to understand that referral to the fertility services might have been made earlier because you had a likely cause for the problems. Okay, so congratulations on your daughter. What else has been helpful for you? Has there been any other support you've got? Because you're sort of given this diagnosis and then just left.
I found Endometriosis UK online and the information on their website was invaluable to start with. So when I got the diagnosis, I felt wonderful because I knew a reason why I was getting this pain. Then I realised, actually, this isn't a condition that I go in and I have my laparoscopy and I come away and I'm cured. This is a disease without a cure. This is something that's going to affect me for a very long period of my life, quite severely. So it impacted all different areas of my life, and the support out there I felt was quite limited. I then, through the website, found a support group that I went to and ultimately started my own support group locally.
The other issue is about ongoing pain, isn't it? Because often laparoscopy doesn't completely resolve all the pain. So what are your thoughts about pain management? How has it affected you?
So I actually had a second laparoscopy to try and remove some more endometriosis, which was helpful. But again, I was still getting quite severe pain. Because I have vomiting as well, trying to have painkillers can be difficult. The painkillers that I was given to deal with the pain, sometimes the side effects were just as bad as the endometriosis. I've been prescribed some very strong opiate-based painkillers. And because of the job I do, I was having to take 2 or 3 days off work to deal with the side effects of the medication. personally, I've sometimes found things like acupuncture have helped, but pain management can be very difficult to deal with as well.
So the physical side of things, you've had surgery and the pill and pain management. It sounds as though you've had a lot of support from your husband.
Absolutely.
And the networks you've developed. But I think we do tend to underestimate the psychological impact of a condition like endometriosis. Do you have any advice for other women or for clinicians?
I think that people being pointed in the direction of support groups at an early stage is really important, because the moment that somebody walks out of a GP's room or a hospital with that diagnosis, the first thing they're going to go and do is look online. Yeah. And some of the stories that you read online, reading that without having a support network around you is very scary, and you're dealing with a condition that, as I say, is chronic. There is no cure. Having a support group and other people that you can go and talk to about that is really important.
So Jodie, thanks so much for sharing that story with us. It's really important for us to hear from somebody who's been through such a difficult time, really, with all the other problems with fertility and chronic pain and the surgery. How could that first consultation have been better for you? Because I think it's really that very first time when you went as a 17-year-old that you describe having real difficulties explaining your own issues. How can we make that consultation better?
I think you're right to say that initial consultation is so important, and empowering the young girl to talk about period problems with the GP is key to getting an early diagnosis. It might be that a further review with that GP in a few months' time and advising the person to complete a menstrual calendar would be helpful, or also to have perhaps the first pill review with the same GP to have that ongoing dialogue, and to say that having time off work or school with menstrual pain isn't normal.
The support you're giving to us with this project, the Menstrual Wellbeing Project, is very much appreciated. Do you feel that this is something that will help women like you?
Absolutely. Being able to get the information out to GPs and to patients as to where they can access support and access information about endometriosis is really important.
Thank you very much, Jodie.
You're welcome.
So in summary, we know menstrual disorders are very common, and we know that women not only get physical problems with them, but also they do have a social impact, time off work, time off school, and also psychological concerns at times. So our role as GPs, not only in getting the treatments right, but offering support, is so important for them. There's good guidance out there. NICE have recently updated a number of women's health guidance, and they are all on the toolkit for easy use. With endometriosis, it is important for us to try and recognise the symptoms earlier, and using diaries or apps to understand the cyclical nature of not just period problems, but also someone will experience problems with passing urine, bowel problems, or any other problems that occur cyclically ought to make us think about something like endometriosis. Endometriosis UK have offered significant support to this project, and that is very much appreciated. And if you haven't looked at the website, I suggest that you do, because there are some very helpful clinician and patient information on there. So please use the resources, if you find them helpful, that we've developed for this project, and share them with other clinicians in your team so that we can continue to improve the health and well-being of our female patients, particularly those suffering with menstrual disorders. And thank you again, Jodie, for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome.